Ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of On and Off the Field with your hosts, Durf. That's enough of that. And Dylan. There we go. This is, in fact, season 4, episode 45, episode 165 overall of On and Off the Field. That's a lot of freaking shows of On and Off the Field. We are brought to you solely by the PartyCast Network, where the party absolutely 110% never ends.
Yeah, until but...
It's technically but when never one, ending.
When one party ends... Another begins.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I should be thrown in there somewhere. That's pretty good. That's solid. Durf's got the ideas. He's a smart man. That's why he's the smart one and the good-looking one of the show. I don't even know why I'm here at this point. Hey, you know what y'all can do to help us out? This is Fred's best, like, this favorite part of the whole thing. It might not actually be true, but I think this is his favorite thing to do on the planet, is Fred flosses, and he also teaches everybody else how to floss during this segment. That means you follow, like, observe, subscribe, and share anything on off the field related. And then this is where Durf really just kind of, like, drives it home and tells you exactly how to do that.
Oh, yeah. Well... You can follow on TikTok, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, all by searching at OOTF Podcast. You can like by hitting that thumbs up, leaving a heart reaction, or just telling us how you like the show by leaving a review on any of our pages or on Apple Podcasts. You can observe us by watching us live every week, Thursdays, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. You can subscribe by clicking those subscribe buttons on Twitch and YouTube and making sure to ring the bell so you get notified when we go live. And last but not least, you can share by letting your friends and family know about us by sharing out any streams we may be doing or any posts you like.
Which is all of them, obviously. I don't know. Absolutely. I don't know how you'd see a post and not be like, that's amazing. It's kind of mind-blowing in my opinion, but... You know, I guess everything is subjective.
That is true.
Can't win them all, Durf. Just can't win them all. So, in this fantastic episode, we'll be breaking down the NFC North, the home of the Houston Gamblers, the Philadelphia Stars. No, shit. That's the Packers, Vikings, Bears, and Lions. Sorry. Sometimes I get them confused. It's... USFL still kind of a little fresh up here. Packers, Vikings, Bears, and Lions. And the first on the docket that we have to break down in this fantastic, chilly, rivalry-filled division is the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, yeah.
The Cheeseheads themselves have had themselves, let's say, an interesting offseason. I feel like that's kind of been the Packers' MO the past couple of years. Just those guys, I don't know if they just love drama, like their stadium sucks so much that they're just mad and they just have to get all their anger out in the off season after they lose to the 49ers in the playoffs every year and just have to like be mad at stuff. I don't know. It's or maybe it's just that witchy voodoo that Aaron Rodgers is now bringing. Did you see? Well, I got to ask, because we have a guest that's going to talk about the Packers with us. And I got to tell you, I know exactly the first question I'm asking him.
Okay.
Or at least like the first thing, because I think it's the greatest thing ever. We are bringing on our good friend Marcus from the Goat podcast. Goat Talks. Goat Talks. I'm just going to let him do his own thing. Because he knows what his show is called. Please welcome the one and only Marcus.
What's up, guys? How you doing today, man?
Is that the name of your show?
It's Goat Talk with Marcus. Yeah, we got it.
I knew that. I was confident. You heard the confidence.
Yeah, the confidence was there. I appreciate it. There was other people. I won't say who. I was on a show recently, and he butchered the name of the show six times live on air. It was
six times.
you know, you were close there, you know, so it works. But yeah, it's always nice to kind of sit down and talk ball with you guys.
Yeah, we've been on your show, I believe, a few times, and we were debating pre-show if you've ever been on and off the field before, which I feel like you have, but I mean,
it's possible. I mean, what's today? Wednesday, August 3rd. So yesterday, August 2nd, was 2 years I've been doing this. I've done like 185 of these on my own show, and I've probably done upwards of 200 if I include all my. It's very possible that I've been here before and just can't find it in my memory bank. It's also possible this is the first time. Either way, I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely.
Well, we're happy to have you here. Yeah.
I appreciate it.
First and foremost, I believe it was David Bakhtiari, however you want to say his last name, taking shots at his own quarterback. He tweeted out he's looking to get a tattoo, something like this. And he posted Aaron Rodgers' new tattoo that I would guess his witch girlfriend forced him to get. I would guess.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, look, I don't have any ink. I'm pretty fair. But if I were to get ink, it wouldn't be that. That wouldn't be the first thing I get. It looks like a map of the netherworld or something. I don't know. But that wouldn't be my option for my first ink. That's for sure.
Is this Aaron Rodgers' first ink?
Yes, that is Aaron Rodgers' first tattoo.
Yeah, for those who don't know, there you go.
That's the first one. Yeah.
So David decided to take that picture and go, I'm looking to get some ink. Anyone know any artists that can do something like this?
Yeah. The only thing on there that makes sense are the two lions, and I didn't know that they were lions until just now looking at it. So,
It's something special right there.
That's my quarterback.
How proud are you of him right now in this moment?
In this moment, not that proud. That's terrible tattooing options. Overall, being a back-to-back MVP four times overall, it's nice to be an Aaron Rodgers fan in general. But right now, in this moment, we're talking about that ink. It's not good. It's not good at all.
Man, I don't know where they get these MVPs from these days, man. I didn't know choking in the playoffs to the 49ers year after year is going to be MVP worthy. But
luckily for Aaron, it's a regular season award.
Thank God.
It was a postseason MVP. He'd never be in the running. So,
no, probably not. Oh, Lordy. So we have to start breaking it down here, right?
Yeah.
It was a very interesting year last year. Is Aaron Rodgers going to play? Things going on, drama filled. But he comes back. They have a decent regular season. Obviously, you know, MVP worthy. And then choked the 49ers in the playoffs per usual. So they made some changes in the offseason. How are you feeling about what they have done? Because I know there's at least one big one with the departure of Davante Adams.
Defensively, I'm excited. It's a pretty fast defense. I think this is probably on paper one of the fastest defenses in the league. You know, like 40 times don't always convert to how you move on the field. But on paper, when you look at 40 times, this is one of the fastest defenses in the league. Offensively, this is a team with one massive question mark, and that is what's the passing game going to look like without Davante Adams. I'm already on record as saying that the loss of Davante Adams himself isn't the one that kind of made me upset. Obviously, you don't want to lose the best running back or the best wide receiver in football, but losing Davante Adams and also losing Marquez Valdes-Scantling, I think, is what made me just want to go jump off a bridge. Because it's easy to kind of go from – it's easy to – as great as Davante is never easy, but it is relatively easy to lose one of your top three wide receivers and still have the other two than to lose two of your top two guys. And you just have the one, and then you've got to kind of figure out what you're going to do with the rest. I think Alan Lazard is going to have a good season. Not just because I'm a Packers fan, but just from a football perspective. Alan Lazard,
he's not going to have a choice. He's going to have to have a good season.
You're right. But I mean, when you look at the way that the Packers are like, run the offense, especially as far as the passing game is concerned. Like this is a very friendly offense. It's not a difficult offense to learn. Alan Lazard's been in it for a couple of years, not as the wide receiver one. So like that'll be an adjustment as far as now, like, you know, defense are going to be game planning to stop you, not to stop Davante and then Marquez Valdes-Scantling and then you. So that'd be a difference.
So you're telling me defenses are not going to have to focus on Sammy Watkins?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. No, I was confused there. I thought he would have been the
man. I don't even think Sammy Watkins is going to play more than 10 games. Like, if I had to bet the over-under,
I'd 10 games? Oh, my God. It's I was going to set my over-under at, like, 4.
It's been that's a more reasonable one. It's been tough sledding for Sammy Watkins the past couple seasons with being able to play an entire season healthy. You've got Christian Watson, right? You've got this offense is going to rely a lot more on the backfield, not from a running perspective, but from a receiving perspective, right? Like Aaron Jones had the second most receiving yards and most catches after obviously Davante Adams over the last 3 years. There's probably going to be an uptick there. AJ Dillon probably going to see a lot more looks out of the backfield in the receiving game. Obviously, when Robert Tonyan comes back, his targeting percentage will go up a bit outside of just the red zone, which is kind of where we like using the most. The offense, I think, is the big question mark, and it's the big reason why me personally as a fan, but also as a football guy, I can't say that the Packers – well, I've never said the Packers are Super Bowl contenders, but why I definitely can't say they're Super Bowl contenders heading into the season. That's just because while I do have confidence in Aaron Rodgers and how great he is, you can't ignore the fact that he is losing the best receiver in football. Like, there is going to be some growing pains, especially once you get into the regular season. It's one training camp's one thing, but regular season's a completely different thing.
What's the general feel on it? Like, I can know training camp's going, and you know everyone's training tweeting about it, and you got all your beat reporters
have been doing phenomenal work. Aaron has been targeting him a lot in a lot of the reps. He's been targeting Eric Stokes defensively as well. And Romeo Doubs has been winning a lot of those one-on-ones. It's been something a little bit surprising, I think, because I don't really think anyone kind of had Romeo Doubs as kind of being this good, I guess, at this point. Mm-hmm. But he's been playing good in training camp. We were talking before the show that David Bakhtiari is actually on the field practicing with the team and the rehab group for the first time a couple days ago. Christian Watson's been dealing with some lingering injuries. Robert Tonyan, obviously, we haven't seen him on the field because he's still recovering from his ACL. By and large, everything's been okay. Like, Jair's back on the field. He looks good. Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt have been looking like first-round talent, which is what you would kind of hope for, given that we picked them in the first round and they are national champions from what was the best defense in college football last season. So that's been nice.
That's generally what you'd like to see out of your first round picks.
You're right. It's not often that you kind of get that. Campbell looks, there's reports that Devontae Campbell's picking up right where he left off with his all pro season, looking to probably hopefully duplicate that thing into the season. There's a lot of positive things, but like I it's nice to kind of hear those things, but I always take everything I hear about training camp with a grain of salt. Because it's one thing to do well against your teammates. It's another thing to go out there and do it against some of the other best in the business that you're going to see over the course of the 17-game schedule. But it's been looking good. There's flexibility with the offensive line, which is nice. And they've kind of been plugging and playing with Elgin Jenkins and other guys that are on the line until D-Bot comes back. So there's a little bit more versatility there. The right side of the line has always been the weaker side of the line because when you've got David Bakhtiari at the left tackle position, that's just kind of how it works. So they're kind of playing with things to kind of figure that out. But it's been good stuff. There hasn't really been anything too concerning or alarming where I kind of would be hesitant more than I already am to have ultimate faith that, you know, the Packers can go as far as they think they can go this season anyway.
I think it'll be hard to get worse and go further. Unless they don't run into the 49ers in the playoffs, then, I mean, they have a chance.
But that is true, and I don't think the 49ers are going to make the playoffs. I do think the NFC, relative to the AFC, obviously, is much, much weaker. Like, you look at the AFC, there's at least 10 teams in the AFC right now before week one that all have valid arguments to make it into the playoffs. That's just really not the case in the NFC. I think what the Packers have going for them is that the only real threat in the division is the Vikings. And under Matt LaFleur, we've lost one game in the division. It was to the Vikings a couple years ago in Green Bay when Dalvin Cook had like 250 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns. He went nuclear. Good for me as a fantasy football guy, not good for me as a Packers guy. Whatever. But like aside from that, once you get past the Bucks, the Rams, the Packers, whoever's going to win the NFC East, there's not a lot of competition in the NFC. You would like to think that the Packers can take advantage of that. And hopefully make it back to an NFC championship game. They're going to have to go through at least the Bucks. They're going to have to go through the Bucks and the Rams some way, some form to get back to a Super Bowl, which is why I'm not even concerned about that. But a wild card victory, I think, like, it's a really low bar. But when you look at what the NFC is probably going to be putting into the playoffs, like, that should be a gimme. It should be. But then we're talking about the Green Bay Packers here in the playoffs. Since they won the Super Bowl 11 years ago, it hasn't been that pretty. So it's really not a gimme. But it should be a gimme that the Packers make it back to the divisional round. Whether it's – they won't be the one seed because that'll be the Rams. But they should be back in the divisional round this season, and you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens there.
You kind of agree with them, Durf. Where, like, where are you at with your Packers?
Yeah.
The Packers, I should say.
The Packers. I got to think they're still the team to beat in the NFC North for the most part. I think divisional round would be a good goal for them. I think we can all agree that, you know, like Marcus said, the Rams are probably going to get the number one, the one seed. Is, you know, that should be the projection for the end of this year coming up. And, you know, that could be an instance where, you know, if you get the Bucks or the Saints, you know, can play, you know, have a better record than the Packers, you could have an instance where the Packers go, they only get that third seed is, you know, their ceiling. And, they could be in an instance where, yeah, they play home for the wild card, but then they're going away for the divisional round. And I think that would be, I think that would be a big shock for the Packers. I feel like there's been so many times in the last few years, since the Super Bowl, even before that, when they were still doing really well, is they had so many home playoff games. And, you know, this shakeup on the offense, yes, Aaron Rodgers is still the regular season MVP for a reason. The running game is still there. My concern is how quickly does an opposing defense make them more one-dimensional, and that one dimension being the weaker half of that offense for the passing game. Not having the receivers, you know, there's going to be a lot of growing pains in training camp. I feel like, I haven't seen reports, but I feel like there's got to be a lot of growing communication between Aaron Rodgers and the receivers that now have bigger roles. And, you know, that is something that, you know, Rodgers and Adams didn't have to worry about. You know, they were like this all the, you know, on the field. Like, you know, there was that non-communication or non-verbal communication between them, those two, that where they just knew what they had to do. And now this is where Aaron Rodgers now has to re-lead this team, you know, on the field and really communicate properly to his teammates on the offense and, you know, the receivers that are learning and, trying to step into roles that maybe they weren't ready this year, but have to be. So, I still think they can take the division. I think divisional round is probably where they might hit their fallout here this year. But I think as much as they've lost and, you know, what they've been able to do this year, I think that's still a solid season. You know, it might not be what Aaron Rodgers wants initially because, you know, I think he's got to be in the back of his head. He's got to think about how much clock is left on his body. And, you know, yeah, that could be a factor, I think, this year. You know, how much he pushes this team, how much he pushes himself. And, I think that's kind of where I see the Packers at. You know, I think it's a lot of questions, but, you know, there's still certainty.
And on the day Tom Brady turns 45, we have to wonder if Aaron Rodgers is going to be healthy enough to get through the season. Tom Brady is not human.
That is true. Tom Brady's not human. I think Aaron will get through the season. Third seed, I think, is the ceiling for this team. Maybe they can push for the second seed, but it would require them to beat a Tampa Bay because Tampa Bay's on the schedule. And that is a deciding game I have. If I pulled up my Excel sheet just now, I have the Bucks at 13-4 right now, and I have the Packers at 12-5. Crazy to think. But the one deciding game is Green Bay going to Tampa Bay to play that game. Maybe it's what they need. Like, maybe the Packers need to go on the road and kind of just play a game on the road. Granted, the last time the Packers, off the top of my head, won a game on the road in the playoffs was back in 2016 when we played Dallas after Dallas went 13-3 in that incredible season. And then that was, you know, that we had that that game-winning drive with Aaron Rodgers. That was the last time we've won, I think, a game on the road in the playoffs, because we went to the NFC Championship game that same season, got dusted by the Falcons. It was embarrassing, to say the least.
Back when the Falcons were good, who would have thought?
Right, back when
the Falcons were good.
So long ago. We've obviously lost the 49ers on the road, the Buccaneers on the road, a couple of teams on the road as well. Right now, the one thing that concerns me is that if my prediction holds true, the Saints would be the sixth seed. That's going to be a top five defense, I think, this season. Maybe could even be the best defense in the league. I don't know, but I think that'll be Buffalo. But top five defense in the league, I think, is going to give the Packers a lot of trouble come postseason time if that's the matchup at some point, which does give me a cause for concern in the wild card round. But, I mean, I guess the benefit that you have with Green Bay, and it's not even that much of a benefit because he hasn't done that much since the Super Bowl, but the one thing that I guess a lot of Green Bay fans kind of always fall back on is, oh, well, we've got Aaron Rodgers, and you're looking at all these young guys that don't really have the success. Yeah, well, if you take away the Super Bowl run, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have that much success in the postseason either. Yeah, we've got the trips to the NFC Championship game, but we haven't been back to the Super Bowl since. Aaron Rodgers hasn't been the same guy in the postseason that he's been in the regular season, which is why a couple months ago I said he was the James Harden in the NFL. Very prolific passer, like one of the greatest to ever do it. Phenomenal. But when it really matters, we don't always see Aaron Rodgers be that bad man that everyone kind of has grown to expect him to be. That's a troublesome situation when if I just run down all the teams I think are going to make it to the playoffs. The Rams have a great defense. The Bucks have a great defense. I think the Eagles defense could be okay. The Cowboys defense, I think, will pick up where they left off last season. I already said the Saints are going to have a top five defense. The worst defense, I think, in the NFC playoff picture for me is the Vikings. That's because they're just old and they weren't good last year. They didn't really do anything to make that defense better. So unless we draw the Vikings in the playoffs, which would require us to be up to two, or would require the Vikings to move up to six, if I'm just looking at my predictions, it's going to be a tough out for the offense, and it's going to require a lot much more for our defense. And while I think our defense is fast, I don't know if our defense can stop the Rams offense. I don't know if our defense can stop the Bucks offense. I'm hesitant to think that the defense could stop the Saints offense a bit, just because the quarterback's an issue. But the Saints, I think, are going to have a sneaky good offense this season. They've got Winston, they have, you know, Kamara, Olave, you know, they've got Jarvis. Like, they have a really good offense. There's a lot of solid offenses in the NFC. And this defense, while it is fast, it's also young. I think the oldest player on the defense is Kenny Clark. And while he's a great leader and one of our better defensive players, right, you know, you've got Jair and you've got all these young guys kind of running around. This will kind of be, for some of these guys, their first time in high-pressure situations where they haven't had a lot of experience. So the defense might not be that great come the postseason time that it might be in the regular season, which could be a problem. So there's questions for the regular season. There's questions for the postseason. I have hope. I mean, I just want a playoff win, dude. I just want a playoff win, honestly. Which, as a Packers fan, is kind of blasphemous to say, right? Because you've got 13 championships overall. You have four Super Bowls in the Super Bowl era. You would like to see another Super Bowl or another championship, but that's just unrealistic. I mean, given his
stop being so damn greedy. You're talking to a Bills fan, all right? Just give us one more Super Bowl. Like, hey, we'll get ours first. Yeah.
Unreal. I just want a playoff win. You just give me a playoff win, and then we'll see where it goes from there. And as a Packers fan, I've gotten heat from other Packers fans for saying that. But I mean, let's be realistic. Like, when you lose the number one wide receiver in football, not just on your team, but in football, like, there's an argument to be made that maybe there's a little bit more efficiency with the offense because Aaron isn't going to be trying to force feed the ball to Davante Adams when the going gets tough. And you can make that argument. But
usually Devontae still catches them regardless.
Right. He also still catches them regardless. But also it's like we've also seen Davante Adams be matched up against the best corner in football in Jalen Ramsey and still make him look silly. Jalen Ramsey's going to have a field day against Allen Lazard. And it's so – that's also a component as well. It's like, yeah, the trust might be growing between Rodgers and all these new receivers, but these defenses know, at least from a secondary standpoint, a lot of the top-tier secondaries are going to be in the NFC. They're going to own the Packers wide receiver room, the Rams, the Bucks. I think the Saints are going to give them some trouble. The Cowboys might even give the Packers some trouble as well. And we'll get to see some of these teams play because we'll play them on the course of our schedule, and it'll be good to kind of measure it. But I just want a playoff win. Just a playoff win, I'm happy. I went into the 49ers game last season. I told everyone for a week that we're going to lose that game. It was just a bad matchup. I knew it. And I was like, oh, you're being so negative. No, it's the truth. When's the last time Aaron Rodgers
beat? I kept telling everyone they were going to lose that game. And people said, I tried telling everybody that. I was on the same page as you.
Yeah, we're not winning that game. I told everyone, oh, you're being so negative. No, dude. They've got great defense. They have a decent quarterback. They got their run game. All these things that we struggle with, they've got. And we dropped. We only gave up 10 points and lost. That's embarrassing.
Not even an offensive touchdown in that game.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. So not
for the Niners.
And the only other thing about training camp that's worth noting that I just mentioned it is that special teams has gotten a lot better. But, that's great. But if we can't score the points with the offense, I don't give a damn what the special teams is doing.
Maybe they won't give up that touchdown next time.
It all comes back to the offense.
Well, hey, as long as Ishmael Hyman gets going, the Packers got a chance. That's all I got to say. Marcus, we appreciate you stopping by. Once again, let everybody know where they can find you and all the information about Goat Talk.
Yeah, so you can find me at GTP Marcus on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. You can search up Goat Talk with Marcus on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and now Facebook. These guys are actually on the show the other day to talk about the Bills. That show's out on YouTube if you want to check that out. There's also 25 or 27 other episodes about all the other NFL teams that are out there as well. Because I've been running all 32 teams over the course of the offseason. Just hit 2 years a couple days ago, so that's been cool. And, I'm just always tweeting or something. So you'll find me. If you can't find me, I guess you're not looking hard enough because I'm everywhere, and it's quite obnoxious, actually.
Just look up Goat Talk with Marcus, and you'll be fine.
And here's the thing. I've gotten to a point now on YouTube where you look up Goat Talk, and sometimes with Marcus just pops up, and that makes me feel really good.
That's how you know you're getting there.
Yeah, that makes me feel really good. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't, but maybe you'll be lucky and you'll see it. It's usually on the list when you start typing it in. So we've been doing – not we, it's just me. I've been doing
– take your credit. It's you.
I've been working really, really hard. So I would love it if you guys could subscribe and follow and all that great stuff.
Do it. Do it.
Please. Do it.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, guys. Good night, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Marcus, for all the insight on the Packers. More insight than I could ever provide in my entire life if I tried.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's why we bring people on. From other teams because they can
be experts,
tell us the stuff that we can't.
Right.
So that's the Packers. We don't want to dwell too much on the other teams because we don't have any more guests. So we'll basically just give you our general opinion on these teams. Mm-hmm. And, because I really don't think a whole lot's been happening with these teams. That's the other thing. They've been super quiet, unless I've missed something.
No, there
hasn't been a whole lot.
There really hasn't been a whole lot. I mean, Harrison Phillips joined the Vikings. The Bears probably added another tight end somewhere. And
Hot Dog Dan Arms Campbell, Phillips went to the Vikings?
Yeah. And
I did not know that.
That was the Bills just didn't want to give him the money that he was asking for. So
what a shame.
But the Bills also like stuffed for their defense with talent, so it wasn't like a huge loss, but
kind of wish we'd be a practice squad or something. It's a shame.
Yeah, but then the only news from the Lions I really heard, besides the rookies that they have, is Dan Campbell's out there doing burpees.
Is he now? With the team. Oh, yeah. He looks like a guy that would do that. That makes sense.
Yeah. He's probably like, I'm not still doing them right that. Now.
He's just going. And every time he goes down on his way back up, you know what he's doing? Biting kneecaps, baby.
Biting kneecaps.
Biting kneecaps. So the Vikings are pretty much sporting the same team on offense. Cousins, Dalvin Cook, Jefferson, Thielen. You know, it's pretty much the same exact team.
Kyle Harrison Rudolph Phillips added. Vikings.
That is true. He is now a Buccaneer. So they got KJ Osborne as their listed tight end one right now. No, Irv Smith Jr. Sorry, I need to go down one more spot. Irv Smith Jr.
Okay.
Which that name does ring a bell. Yeah, he's a.
Which he was a. He was an addition last year for them before last season. So
he's only 6'2", 240. He's a pretty small tight end. In the grand scheme of things.
I feel like he's small to average.
Yeah. And Harrison Phillips added to the defense. Danielle Hunter still there. Eric Kendricks, Jordan Hicks, Za'Darius Smith added from the Packers. And Patrick Peterson, Cameron Dantzler on the back end with Harrison Smith and Lewis Sin.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of additions, you know. But overall, I really don't expect anything outside of your usual old Vikings who just kind of maybe they can get a seventh or a sixth seed, but overall, I don't think it's going to be that exciting.
Yeah, I'm thinking they should be aiming for that seventh seed.
Especially like we were talking, like a weak NFC. It shouldn't be that hard for them. They do have a lot of talent. Like, they should be a seven or a six seed.
Yeah.
But we know them to choke here and there.
Occasionally. I mean, has Kirk Cousins played in the playoffs ever? I don't think he has.
I think he did with the when he was with Washington.
Oh, he might have.
I'm going to Google it right now. He has a career passer rating of 86.6 with 774 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception in 4 games in the playoffs in his career. Two of them with the Vikings, as a matter of fact, in 2019. Obviously, because that's the game with the Stephon Diggs miracle catch. Duh.
Yeah, I thought that was Keenum, though.
Was it Keenum? Maybe it was.
I thought that was Keenum.
He did play Miracle. 2 games, though, in 2019 in the playoffs with the Vikings. So he has won a playoff game by the looks of it.
All right.
I'm going by the internet here, man. Maybe the internet's wrong.
The internet never lies.
True. True and factual. The Chicago Bears, I could not care less about this team. I just feel bad for Darnell Mooney. He just seems like a young wide receiver that could just – he could benefit any team in the league with his skill, and it's just being wasted in Chicago.
It'll be interesting to see what Justin Fields does this year, but
I'm not sure where to stand on him. That's what I was just gonna say. Like, is it just the Bears? Is he actually talented? Well, I don't think we'll ever know. It's just one of those things where it's like, if he was with a better team, who knows? But he's stuck with the Bears. So,
well, here's your answer to if he's talented.
Okay.
He's an Ohio State quarterback.
Okay, so he's not talented.
He's not talented.
Below average at best.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that up for me. David Montgomery, once again, another very talented piece that just.
Yeah.
And then outside of that, I don't think I can name you another player. They still have Roquan Smith on defense and Eddie Jackson. Outside of that, this defense is no longer the defense that the Bears used to know.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
I think that's the saddest part. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
they used to be it was only like what, 3-4 years ago, everyone was like, oh, the monsters of the Midway are back. Like, they had this stacked defense.
Right.
And now it's dead again. Like, just
I think
blink of an eye.
I think the Bears are at the bottom of the division.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement.
I think there's a lot of struggle this year for them, whereas I think the Lions should have a better record than them, because there's a lot more hope there, I feel like. There's a lot more, like, positivity going into the team. There's a lot more rebuilding. that's showing progress. So I definitely think the Bears are in the basement in this NFC North this year.
I 100% agree. I mean, the Lions, although they have to deal with Jared Goff, they still, I think this is just a team that is defined by grit. Yeah. As like cliche and stupid as it sounds, this team put together some quality games last year and even some very good wins. And it was just another one of those scenarios where if the ball bounces the right way, they win a couple more games. You know, they just got unlucky a few times. Hashtag right. Justin Tucker kicking an NFL record long field goal. Like, that's the Lions' luck, man. It's really unfortunate for them.
Right.
But Amon Ross, St. Brown's there, DJ Chark, Jameson Williams, a couple of good wide receivers, TJ Hockenson, potential to be a very good tight end if he stays healthy. DeAndre Swift, obviously, and then adding Jamal Williams this offseason. And then the defense is just, I don't really know a lot of these names off the top of my head. It's chock full of young, hungry players. And we saw that a lot last year,
right.
Especially out of Okuda. Very bad start to the season. I think he got benched even for a game, and he came back and popped off.
So right. And I think that's
a sign of how good their coaching staff is, you know,
like yes.
Dan Campbell.
Yeah, him changing the culture, basically, you know, being able to do that and then get more out of your player later in the season when you say, okay, get on the field and show me what you're made of. Like, that's changing the culture for this team that is now making they're turning the corner where, you know, they should be, they're not a playoff team this year, but they should be, they're trending upwards for sure.
I have a lot of hope for them. I don't know if they get over 500, but I mean, to see them at 8-9 would be amazing. That's where I kind of, they get to 8-9, holy cow. That would be awesome. And that it might be coach of the year worthy for Dan Campbell. If they get to 8-9, depending on how the season plays out and what those eight wins look like.
Right.
They may be considered, especially if they get a playoff spot somehow. I would automatically cast my ballot for Dan Campbell for coach of the year without even blinking. So I think we're in agreement though. We got Packers winning the division. Even though they got so much turmoil, they still seem like the most well put together team and they have Aaron Rodgers. Now we have the Vikings at 2.
Mm-hmm.
The second most put together team, but they have Kirk Cousins and then a Dalvin Cook, who is usually only healthy for 6 games a season. Yep. And then we have the Lions getting out of the basement for the first time in forever. And then the Bears, the lowly
Bears.
Sorry, Bears fans. It's just going to be another long one for you. At least you still have the Cubs. Oh, wait, they suck too. Well, there's your NFC North recap, everybody. I hope you're all getting ready for the season. We have our first preseason game. Got the Hall of Fame game coming up. Super exciting times here to be an NFL fan with the season literally pretty much here.
Yeah.
We have football happening. So it doesn't really get more exciting than that. So I appreciate y'all tuning in. Make sure you floss. And we'll see you next week.
On and off the field.